We turn to Joshua chapter 4, please. I remember a number of years ago when I did my training with the or probation period with the London City Mission. I had to live in a hostel in Fair Street, which is very near Tooley Street, which is near Tower Bridge. And I did my training down in Tooting. And so at the end of the day, well, so at the end of the evening, about sort of 9, 10 o'clock, I would get on the tube at Tooting Broadway, and, well, couldn't zoom in those days on the Northern Line, it was known as the Misery Line. But we would eventually get to London Bridge. And then I would get out of London Bridge and walk all along Tooley Street, and then go in to the hostel at Fair Street. But it was half a relief to get there. Funny, isn't it? How you know, it's, I suppose, the area, maybe, I don't know. But I'm sure there must have been some sense of relief amongst the people of God, because they just completed crossing the Jordan River. What would have been an impossible situation for them was made possible because of the way the Lord stopped the river, and everyone was able to cross over. And now, finally, the people of God are now in the promised land. And again, the Lord has words for Joshua. And he gives them, again, precise and exact instructions. The Lord spoke to Joshua saying, this is verse 2, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's foot stood firm. They're precise instructions. Joshua is not left in the dark. They're not just going to just stand there on the other side of the Jordan. But the Lord will keep him up to date, if that's the right word. What's the next step? What's next going to happen? And you know, it's the same today. The Lord does not leave his people in the dark. Whatever ministry we have, as a church, as individuals, we are to carry it out. We are to get on and do it. And because he has given us that task to do. And of course, like Joshua, we will rely entirely on him for all that we need. As I say, some of these tasks will be personal ones, family perhaps, others corporal. And in chapter 3 and verse 12, we read this. Now therefore, take for yourself 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. 12 men have been given this task. One from each of the 12 tribes. Now Joshua, of course, is the leader. He has an awful lot on his mind. However, he doesn't neglect to promote and acknowledge the Lord's honour. He does this task straight away. No delay. Nay, when it came to pass, straight away he carries out the instructions that the Lord has given him. Isn't it? Delay is so mañana. Put it off till tomorrow. We'll do that next week. Well, there's no rush. But we need, if the Lord says do it, he means do it. And we should not delay. We are so prone, aren't we, to forget. So easy to forget things. There's a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, which says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." You see, we are to remember the Lord's goodness to us in so many, many ways. It's a good thing, isn't it, to call to mind previous blessings, previous deliverances, and know that as the Lord has strengthened and supported us in the past, he's not going to suddenly let go now. He'll keep us going until he sees fit to finish. And of course we discover that two memorials are going to be set up. One at the place where the Israelite people, if you like, arrived in the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. And the other will be at Gilgal, which we discover there in verse 19. Where those priests stepped out of the water onto dry land is, well, they were on dry land, and of course as soon as they stepped out, the water started up again. Where they stepped out is where one of these memorials will be placed. And the stones came from the river itself, where the priests had stood there in the bed of the River Jordan. And the reason that this memorial is going to be put up, erected, is that the people would then be able to remember what had happened. It was there to remember. It was not, definitely not, something to worship. There would be no shrines or any of that nature. It was purely something that when they would look at it and they would remember, hey, the Lord had miraculously intervened and they were able to cross the River Jordan dry. And today we meet around the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. It is a service of remembrance. We don't worship the elements. We don't worship a piece of bread or a cup of wine. And they don't change into anything. They stay bread, they stay wine, and if there's anything left over, the wine goes back in the carton it came from, and the bread goes out for the birds. Nothing special about it. It's there, it's representation, isn't it? When we take that bread, we remember the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the wine, we remember the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to remember, it is a table. It is not an altar. There is no altars in the New Testament. And the Lord's words are this, aren't they? What did he say? Do this in remembrance of me. And we saw in the previous chapter, in this situation back to Joshua, that the men for this task had already been selected. They are ready now to carry out the commission without delay. It's not a task for anyone. These men were not volunteers. They would have been chosen, selected, called. It's wonderful to know that's still the same today, isn't it? Christians are those who have been chosen. If you want to call it selected, called. Nobody should be in a ministry that they're not called to. And so on. And it tells us there that they would carry them on their shoulders. Well, the reason for that is they were big stones. They weren't the sort of going down like to Eastbourne Beach and picking up a few pebbles off the shoreline. These would be great big stones. And these would be, you know, healthy, strong men. And they would have these large stones on their shoulders. And as I say, these stones have come where the ark had been above them, so to speak. They came, you see, from a specific place. Not anywhere. They didn't just say, well, that looks quite nice, we'll go for that one. It's a nice pretty one there. I mean, you know what it's like when you take children on the beach. They look for the nice looking stones, or one with a hole in, or things like that. You know, it's decorative. But this was not here at all. These were specifically from a specific place. You see, the job had to be done properly. No shortcuts. Again, a lesson for us today. If we have a task for the Lord, we do it properly. We don't take shortcuts. We don't cut corners. We do it properly. And of course, these stones will be erected, and they stand as a continual memorial to the miraculous. The miraculous passage of the River Jordan. And again, proof of their lasting obligation to the Lord. In a way, it's a message to their heart via the eyes. It's amazing, isn't it, that you could see something and it's a message almost. You see it and it brings back memories. If you want to say, this could be like an enduring sermon in stone. And don't we all need reminders of the power and goodness of God? We are, or as I said earlier, prone to forget. Ways used to wander. And when things do get tough, then we need to be reminded. We need to remind ourselves of the power and goodness of God and look around and think, what has the Lord done for me? And apart from our salvation, so much else. And also, by looking at that memorial in the past and looking ourselves to in the past to what the Lord has done, you can almost see it as a pledge of what God would do in the future. You know, we sometimes, don't we? We so easy to be pessimistic, isn't it? So easy to get downhearted. State of the country. State of the schools. State of the NHS. State of this. State of that. You could get depressed, especially if you listen to the news. But we need to look to the Lord. People say, I'm glad I'm not young anymore. And not all people, but those of us our age, some do. I'm glad I'm not young anymore. I would like to be bringing up children today. But I wonder if they said that when we was children. I'm glad I'm not bringing up children today. You see, the Lord has his ways. And the Lord can protect his people. The Lord can protect our children, our grandchildren, from all the false teaching in school. He can protect them. They may have to sit and listen to it, but he can protect them. And verse 7, when you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. It's basically restating, isn't it? All that had happened when the ark entered the river. You see, the ark was there representing the presence of God. And that's what caused the water to cease flowing. As I say, these stones would be a memorial forever. And again, as I say, it's a reminder, isn't it, of what we say at the Lord's Supper. But what we do say, don't we, at the end, we do this until he comes. One day in the future, there will be, I suppose, what we would call the last Supper. and then the Lord will come. And as we said earlier, the bread and the wine, they are symbols that remind us of how much we owe to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he went through on that cross at Calvary for our salvation. Broken body, shed blood. You see, the priest has stood right there in the middle of the river with the ark with them, the presence of God with them. And that is where these stones will come from. And some will be taken to Gilgal. We read in verse 20. And these 12 stones which they took up at the Jordan, Joshua set them in Gilgal. So you have 12 at the Jordan and 12 going to be in Gilgal. Two sets of stones. As I say, one there in Gilgal, one by the side of the river. Now, I don't know how they built it. Straight up, crossways. Doesn't say, and don't matter really, does it? I think it would have been built in such a way that you could notice it. It wouldn't have been just slung around anyhow. It's like Stonehenge, isn't it? You can see Stonehenge a long way away. Well before you get there. And so, these will be placed in such a way. Perhaps they were placed on a plinth or something, we just don't know. But they would be visible. And they would mark the spot where the people crossed over at the river and also at Gilgal. Gilgal was the place that they first encamped after crossing into the Promised Land. And so what we have here is a double monument. As I say, one there in Gilgal, one where it happened. And verse 10 says, at the end, that Moses commanded Joshua and the people hurried and crossed over. They were to make haste. And of course it's the natural thing to do, isn't it? They were on an urgent sort of mission. And by listening, reading that verse in verse 10, according to all that Moses had commanded, it would appear that Moses had given some directions to Joshua. And of course, everyone had to pass through. All the time, a need for implicit obedience and practical fortitude. The priests had to accept that possibly they were in the place of most danger, in the middle of the river. But there also, they had the place of honour. And we too must steadfastly carry on. The people hurried across. There must be no unnecessary delay. One of our tasks as believers is to seek to make the spiritual ministry to others as easy as possible. We support them, don't we? We support those who are involved in the ministry of evangelism. We support them in prayer. We seek to support them with encouragement and perhaps where we can to engage with them. We must be so thankful for them. And we must never ever take them for granted. We thank God for the opportunities that we have today. We thank you that people are prepared to stand in the breach and stand up for the word of God. And I think particularly of our dear brothers and sisters who face far more problems. I wonder how many Christians in Nigeria will be killed today. How many believers will be executed in North Korea today? We sit here in relative comfort. But compared to them, it's absolute luxury, isn't it? and we could go around all the nations, many of the nations of the world, and think of our brothers and sisters, how we must support them and encourage them, and then those who stand on the front line also in our own nation. And all that we must do, and all that we do, must be done with Christian love, with Christian compassion, and Christian warmth. And it was not until the whole crowd had crossed the river that the priest carrying the ark came out onto dry land. And it does tell us there about the people from the eastern tribes. Verse 12. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken to them. They marched across with their brethren across the Jordan. And they showed their commitment in fulfilling the promise that they gave back in Joshua chapter 1. We read in verse 14, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valour, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. And of course, these people from the tribe, half-tribe, Manasseh, and Gad, and Reuben, would not be encumbered, if you like, with their goods and families. They're all on the other side. And so they're just coming across with their weapons and all that they need to fight. And it tells us there were 40,000 of them, ready for battle and fully armed. And verse 14, back to chapter 4, tells us this: on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Joshua's position, you see, is equal to that of Moses in respect of the people. And the Lord makes good his word to him. Back in chapter 3 and verse 3, it says that, you know, your place and go after it. That Joshua is upheld. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exhort you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And we read in the in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Encouragement for us, surely, in our service to the Lord. We do need to be diligent. We need to honour and obey him. And the people there saw in Joshua something of the Lord, and the Lord's authority that was given to him. And it says about a sense of fear and awe. Now that doesn't mean cringing. It doesn't mean they were going around on their hands and knees cringing, you know, like they used to in the old days if you didn't approach the ruler or you got your head chopped off in the right way, you know. Not that. But it's just their sense of being the servant of the Lord. They deserve respect. They deserve honour. And Joshua, you see, was the man who commanded the priest to come out of the water. Of course, it was a command from the Lord given to Joshua. You see, they stood where they were told until they were told to move. And no doubt they've been standing there a long time. Again, what patience they must have had. And the Lord's messenger and servant is Joshua. And we are the Lord's messengers and the Lord's servants today. We are witnesses to the gospel, whether we speak it or live it. Everyone's crossed over, the priest can come out. It was, if you like, mission accomplished. Joshua obeyed the Lord, commanded the priest to come out of the water. And of course we know as soon as they stepped on dry land, the waters began to flow again. Again, we have to just remember the example of the power of God in all this. And it uses that word immediately. Immediately. At this time, at this moment of time, it is now 40 years minus 5 days since the Exodus from Egypt. And it's interesting how Joshua talks about how we crossed over the Red Sea. Well, that would be, of course, Caleb from his generation. But though there have been a lot of children who crossed through the Red Sea that were still alive. But all the adults, of course, who crossed the Red Sea, apart from Joshua and Caleb, perished in the wilderness. And we discover in verse 19 that it is the tenth day of the first month, 4 days before Passover. You see, the Lord's timing is exact and wonderful. They were there ready now to camp at Gilgal, and in due course they would go through the rites of circumcision, and they would carry on, and they would do the Passover, carried out with much care. And as I say, one of the purposes, going back to the memorial, as it says there, was to encourage children to ask questions. Do you not find that children have inquiring minds? Sometimes they ask the wrong questions. Or shall I say they ask embarrassing questions. I will just tell you a little story. I won't digress too far. I was taking a funeral up at the crematorium in Guildford. And the dad brought these two young children in because they wanted to see what would happen. And at this time, the crematorium was out of order. So when the service was over, the coffins were loaded on a lorry and taken off to Woking to be cremated. And he's explaining this to the children. And I was at the front looking for where, you know, the buttons are to press so you do the right thing in the right order. And one of them said to him, well, what happens if the lorry has an accident and all the coffins fall on the motorway? He thought, well, how'd you answer that? I thought, well, you just go along and pick them up. But anyway, they do ask difficult, sometimes, questions. There's a need to make known to young people today, isn't there? The wonderful news of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lost generation, many of them. Aren't they? Filled with evolution, worldliness, addicted to smartphones. What an importance it is, Christian education and Christian teaching. And we are indeed to beware of neglect. And then verse 22 says this, then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. There's a statement of faith. Isn't it good to recall past blessings? Isn't it good to recall past encouragements? Isn't it good to let people know the blessings of being a Christian? And we have a message, don't we, for the world around us. Well, may the Lord help us, as he helped the people of God in those days, has done since then and does today, to be consistent in our walk with Christ and to be able to have opportunities to share the wonderful message of the gospel with whosoever will. Let's pray for a moment, shall we?